title of the series is Satan Targets Your Dreams. The title of the message is Make the Dream Real. I'm going to start right out in your note page. It's on page 1, number 1. There's something that must be in the heart of everyone who follows after their God-given dream. It is simply this. Your dream must become so real to you that it is literally part of you. It has to be so embedded within your heart that it cannot be stolen from you. The reality of the dream inside of you could mean the difference between success or failure. And this is why you must hold on to your dream at all times. The dream God gives you has to go well beyond your wishful thinking. It has to become real on the inside of you. And anybody can talk about what they want to do and what they might do someday. But those who are successful, they go beyond just talking about it. They pursue it with everything that is within them. Number 2 in your insert. As I told you last week, the human mind does not think or does not really think in terms of words that we hear. You've heard me use this illustration before, but it fit goods here, so I'm going to use it. Because we think in images. If I say the word dog, how many of you in your mind you go D-O-G? We don't think in terms of words. We think in terms of images. And it's when I say dog, you don't think D-O-G. You normally see something in your mind. If you have a dog, you probably see your dog. And if I say, if I give a word and I say, okay, a large dog with black dog. Well, you might see a large black dog. If I say a black dog and it's not your black dog, you won't see your dog anymore. You'll see a picture of a black dog. If I say big black dog with curly hair and white paws, then that's what you'll see. See, every word, every descriptive word I give perfects the image. So God gave us his word so that you and I could get an image of his promises. And when we read it, we can visualize what he has said to us about our dreams. And the more we hear the word of God, the more the image of our dream is perfected within us. And this is what happened to Abraham. God spoke to him, and then the more God spoke, the clearer the dream became to Abraham. Originally, he had no idea where he was going and where God was taking him. However, in time, it became clear that he was looking for something that was authored by God. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10 says, "And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise." Abraham was confidently looking toward a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Number 3, even though you may not see it clearly yet, God wants to be the architect and the builder of your dreams. He wants to paint inside of you a picture of your destiny. And no matter who you are or what your background is, God has a plan for your life. Say, God has a plan for my life. God's not just going around picking out a few people and dropping dreams in their hearts because he likes them more than he likes you. God wants to plant dreams in the hearts of every one of his children. However, say however. In order for the dream to be dropped into your heart, you have got to be in communion with him, communicating with him. You've got to have time of fellowship with him. As a result, then you'll begin to anticipate the fulfillment of the dream. You'll begin to expect it to come to pass. And if it doesn't come to pass tomorrow, well, you're going to look for it the next day. You can switch over to page 2. And if it doesn't come to pass this week, well, you'll anticipate it next week. And if it doesn't come to pass next week, then there's always next month. And no matter how long it takes, you'll keep looking for it because you know that it came from God. I will tell you, there are dreams in my life that God has given me that have come to pass the next moment, it seems like. And there are dreams that I've been believing God for 30 years, and I'm still waiting. Time's passing. I mean, I can waste it, or I can stay in faith. Wasting it does nothing for anybody. And you might say, well, 30 years is a long time. Well, it's going to pass anyway. So why don't you just believe for something? And so number 2 in your insert, most Christians have something in their hearts from God that they were excited about. And it may be a business, a ministry, a family, a club at school, you know, something you want to do at school. You know, they get excited about it. They endeavor to make it happen. They endeavor to make it happen. Bad mistake. and everything seems to go wrong. And then, of course, what happens? You get other people that start telling you that your dream's never going to come to pass. And if you're not determined in the face of opposition, you'll begin to look for opportunities to give up on your dream. I have seen so many people do this. And I tell people, particularly people who are from me, that let's say most of their job is sales. That is not the funnest thing in the world to do. Now, there are people that love it. But this, to me, is not the funnest thing to do. It's just something we have to do. Now, the way we do it is not so much, you know, beat people up to sell. And so it's not so bad because we're not, you know, pressure. But I always tell people in sales, you know, there's always something else to do. There's always some paperwork you can fill out. There's always, you know, your dress desk to clean out. There's always, you know, this you can do or this email you get. There's always something to do besides what you know you need to do. You know, you say, well, I want to make more money. That's fine. You know what you need to do. But there's always something that can distract you. And there's always something telling you you're not going to make your dream, so you may as well do this instead. That's just the way life is. And if you live like that, then you will never get there. It's got to become real to you because opposition is real. And like Abraham, we have to completely convince that what is in our heart is designed by God. Every step Abraham took, he came closer to what God had for him, the building of his dream. And we have to pursue our dreams with the same resolve. Number three on whatever page I'm on. Every dream that God has placed in your heart begins with an image, and then it becomes a reality. God plants these images in your heart like seeds. So we can see this, Hebrews 11:13. I'm going to read out of the Message translation. Each one of these people, he's talking about Hebrews, you've got the Hall of Fame there. You got all these Old Testament saints. He says, each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it. You know, let's say I have a dream, something I want to do in my life. And it's at the end down there. But to do it, I got to get through all of these things. And many of these things are achievements, and they're good things. But they're not the ultimate thing. But if I think, man, that is so far off, I'll never get there before I die, then I do nothing. And so you read about all these Old Testament saints in Hebrews, and you know, David and all of these guys, and they never got to the final prize they wanted. But look at all the victories they had along the way, all the accomplishments, all the things they did, all the things they did for God along the way. But they never got it. Now, why is that important? Because if I see the obstacle so big or so far, I'll never even try. There's a statement, it's not biblical, but it's true. How do you need an elephant? One bite at a time. You know, if I sat down and told you to eat the elephant, you're going to look at me and say, I ain't no way this fit inside of me. Well, over time, one bite at a time. You just nibble away at that elephant till it's gone. And so that's how you deal with problems. You can let things overwhelm you. It's easy to do that. But you have no reason to do that. Because when something's overwhelming you, that means it's opposition. And man, once opposition arises in my life, that's when I go to work. That's when I start fighting because that tells me I am on the right track. Because if opposition comes up against me, I know there's something fighting me. And that's when you pull it out, and that's when you just go after it. And so they saw it. Say they saw it.
They saw it.
These people died in faith, not having obtained the promise, but they saw them on the inside of them. In other words, their dream was so real on the inside of them, they could see it even though they never experienced it fully. It was as the King James Version says, it was afar off. It became so vivid on the inside of them, it was more real to them than what was on the outside of them. What was on the inside of them motivated them. It compelled them to go forward and to go beyond what other people are willing to do. Have you ever seen someone who would never give up? What do you think motivates people like that? Those people that never give up, they see things other people don't see. They have something on the inside of them that propels them forward. They see their dreams slowly becoming a reality, and they're willing to keep marching toward it, even if they may die before obtaining it. They're willing to pursue their dream today. That will you give up too quickly? Or will you just keep on keeping on? Or do you just let people talk you out of it? I hope not. Number four, we have to constantly feed our spirits the Word of God in order to stay strong. Under no circumstances should we ever give up, waver, or compromise. As believers, we are to never give up, even if things look impossible. You know, I'm going to talk in a minute about some things that are more personal to me. But every problem that you will ever face in life is in this owner's manual for life right here. There's nothing you will face in life that's not in here. Now, the key is what you want worth the time and effort to get in here and find out what God says about it and then pursue it no matter what hell tries to say or do? That's the question. Are you going to man up or are you going to wimp out? That goes for the women too. And I see so many people, particularly right now, oh gosh. You know, I talk to people on the phone. They are so hopeless. It is like, oh, my God, people, really? There is a God in heaven. He's still there. You know, and a lot of these are Christians. And they're like, you know, where's God? Same place he's always been. Where are you? You know, I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh. And so we are a people of faith. And faith sees the impossible as obtainable. Have you ever wanted something? But you think it's taken too long, or you ever wanted something and it's like it's just never going to happen? Well, you got a choice at that point. Do you quit or do you just go on with God? Most people quit. Most people stop. Most people say it's not worth it. Well, if the prize is worth the prize, it's worth obtaining the prize. And so you just go after it in Jesus' name. We don't quit. We don't give up. We don't stop. We do what we do, and we do it by faith. Amen?
Amen.
We are a people of faith, and faith sees the impossible as obtainable. As believers, we should be willing to go any distance, even giving our lives to hold fast to the dream that God has dropped in our heart. When we are determined, then God sees to it that it'll come to pass. You know, I was listening this last week to a CD by Jerry Savelle, and it was a relatively new CD, and just a few months old. And he said something on the end of it that really helped me, because I get a lot of flack from people for the way I teach. You know, I get a lot of flack from people that, you know, they don't want it this way. And what he said at the end of that CD, bless me. It helped me. Because, you know, have you ever felt like you're the only one that gets made fun of or ridiculed for what you do? But you know what you're doing is right. But you feel like, man, why are people ridiculing me for this? And he said at the end of that CD, he said, you know, and I mean, you got to think, Jerry Savelle, his ministry is huge worldwide. I mean, you know, the guy's jet is an envy of corporate America. And I don't know that he's ever paid for one of them. I don't think he has. People just give them to him. You know, his ministry is huge. But I remember in the 1980s, sitting in a hotel room no bigger than this room, and he coming. Because guess what? We all start somewhere. All right? But here's what he said. He said, these days I get ready. A lot. The message is old-fashioned. The message is out of touch. The message doesn't connect with people anymore. And he went down this list of what's wrong with people say is wrong with the message. But he said, you know what? I've been teaching this message for 50 years. It's never let me down. It works every single time. And you know, I face the same thing. You're out of touch. The church is out of touch. You don't sing this way. You don't dress like this. You don't preach that. You don't do this. You know, and you know what? I started learning this message 40 years ago. I've been teaching this message for 30 years in classes, Sunday schools, whatever. And you know what? It works. And what does the old saying say? You dance with the one that brung you. Now, does that mean we're not open to new revelation? Of course not. You know, back when grace was really hit, you know, a few years ago, 6 years ago, when grace really hit, I spent 18 weeks teaching on grace. Amen. And then right in the middle of that 18 weeks, Kenneth Copeland had the Believer's Convention in Fort Worth, and I had people coming in on Sunday saying, man, they're teaching exactly what you're teaching. I thought, well, praise God, I started it before they got here. And then I had people come the next week and say, gosh, they said a lot of the same things you're saying. Why? Same Holy Spirit. Amen. So, you know, we taught for 18 weeks on that subject. But we did it based on the Word of Faith message. Because that's all I know. Because, look, I graduated high school. I could not read. The Holy Spirit taught me to read through circumstances and situations that made it important to me to learn. I've gone through hell and back. You know, we've lost 2 children. The day that Pastor Denise was having cancer surgery, you know, it's supposed to take like 3 hours, maybe 4. 6 hours later, I'm still sitting in that room by ourselves. Well, why were you by yourself? Because we don't tell people what's going on because we don't want people talking negative. And so I was there by myself, and, you know, hours passed how long the surgery was supposed to take. We lose everything. After 25 years of building a career, and it all goes away. You know, life happens. It's just life. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to let life take care of you, or are you going to take care of living? I'm not giving up, and I'm not stopping. And you know what? If this church, you know, at some point, if we decide, you know what, if we're just going to pull all our money and give it to somebody that makes a big difference, then we do that. I don't care. I didn't want this job when I got it. So, you know, it's just one of those things where God does things, and because God does things, we step into them, we're faithful, and we do what we're supposed to do. But I am not going to allow pressure from outside sources, I don't give a rip who they are or how loud they talk, to take the message that has taken me through every crisis in my adult life, taken me from a nothing to a something, taken me from a nothing financially to a something financially, taking me from a nothing influentially to a something influentially. You realize I have very impressive titled people with all kinds of letters after their names that make tons and tons and tons of money come to me to ask me what to do with their money. How does that happen? It happens because you have a dream. And you don't give up on the dream. And life happens and circumstances happen. And like one of my fathers in the faith, Jerry Savelle, yeah, they may say the message is old. They may say it's out of touch. They may say it's out of date. But it works. It works better than anything I have ever seen in my life. And just because I want something, and I don't get it today or tomorrow or next week or next month, doesn't mean I'm giving up on God or I'm quitting. Because if it's important for me to get if it's important enough for me to get excited about it, then it's important enough for me to work at it until I achieve whatever it is I'm trying to achieve. Amen. God is faithful.
Yes, He is.
Are you? And I will not apologize ever for this message. Ever. Not one iota. Because it has taken me places that I never could imagine I could have gone. It has brought me places and to a place in life that I never could have imagined. So don't think I'm ever going to change the message. Because unless God came down and said, but again, we're open to revelation. Something comes out that is new revelation, like, you know, the revelation of really what grace is and was. You know, yeah, we're going to teach on it. We're going to dig into it and we're going to teach on it. But it's all going to be wrapped around our core value, which is this, and not what is popular. God gave Abraham a dream, and he wouldn't give up until that dream became a reality. Hebrews 11, 24 through 27 says of this about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. He saw him who is invisible. Notice what motivated Moses. He saw things other people could not see. He was willing to suffer disgrace rather than compromise his dream. He was willing to endure the hardest of circumstances rather than look for the easy way out. Moses was looking for that which God had dropped in his heart. He anticipated its coming to pass. He would not allow anything to cause his dream to be stolen. Look at the words used to describe the determination of these people that God put these in their heart. Now, it says in Hebrews 11, 20, 29, by faith, he, talking about Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. So notice in verse 28, by faith he kept. And notice in verse 29, by faith the people passed through. Pay attention to words. When you have a dream from God, you've got to be willing to keep it. You have got to be willing to keep it. You've got to be willing to pass through some things. So you've got to keep it. And you got to pass through. And before the dream comes to pass, you may have to pass through some obstacles. Notice that Moses was willing to pass through adversity. He was determined to fulfill his dream no matter what he had to pass through. Hebrews 11, 32 through 34, it says, you know, about Samson and David and Samuel and others, about what they passed through, how they achieved their dreams. And then it says in verses 32 through 34, how much more do I need to say? This is Paul. You know, he's talking about all these Old Testament saints. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. I understand we are in a pandemic. I understand it is not a good situation right now. I get that. And I also understand by the boatloads of people, they have stopped dreaming. They just think the world's over and they have stopped dreaming. And when the church stops dreaming, what happens? Nothing. We have to dream. You can't stop. You can't quit. You can't give up. Philippians 3, number 1. If you refuse to give up, you'll see your dream fulfilled. If you're willing to persevere, then you can conquer and you can overcome. With perseverance and determination, you can obtain everything that God has spoken to your heart. We have to be motivated by what is on the inside of us. And so the question is, what's on the inside of you right now? Can you see yourself prospering? Can you see yourself living in health? Do you see yourself walking in the fulfillment of the dream that God has given you? If He's called you to the ministry, do you see yourself ministering? To business, do you see yourself running a business? To family, do you see yourself in that family? To raising children, whatever it is. There are three words that describe the people in Hebrews 11. They were relentless, they were unwavering, and they were uncompromising. And these words must describe you if you want to see the fulfillment of your God-given dream. When you truly desire your dream to come to pass, then you'll become relentless, unwavering, and uncompromising as well. Number two, when things seemingly become more difficult for Paul, he penned these words in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, very familiar words to us. Brothers, I don't count myself as apprehended. What is he saying? Man, I ain't got it all together. I have not got it all together, folks. I'm still working through this just like you are. But there's one thing I do. I have to do it. If I didn't do it, I'd go crazy. I have to do it. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press on toward the goal, for the prize, for the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. We have got. There is none of us in here that has it all. We don't have it together. You know, we're off getting all emotional about this or doing that or, you know, whatever it is. And the devil wants to beat you up. The devil wants to take you down. And the devil wants to do this and that. Paul's saying, I haven't apprehended. I haven't gotten there. But there's one thing I got to do. I got to forget everything that's behind me. Why? Because if I'm focused on what's back there, I can't focus on what's up there. I can't change one thing back there. But I can change everything up there. I got to press on towards the call. I got to press on. Press on. He said, I press on. There was something on the inside of Paul that caused him just to press on. And is that something on the inside of you? Are you determined to see your dream come to pass? If so, then it's not a time to give up. It is a time to press on until your dream comes to pass. You know, I told some of this story last week. You know, when we did lose everything after 9/11 and I was unemployed for well over a year and we used up all retirement, all the money was gone, everything was gone. You know, we were just it was just, and I couldn't, nobody would hire me. I was overqualified for everything. Never figured out what that means, but. And I kept getting this call from this guy who wanted to talk to me about insurance. Nobody likes insurance people. I don't want to do that.
And that involves
selling, and I don't want to sell. And, but as you know, I had made up a list. I had made up a list based on my dream of what I wanted in a job. And I didn't care what it was. You know, I wanted certain things. There was a whole list of things. None of them had to do with a certain profession. Working with people, solving problems. You know, there were lots of things on there. Stop traveling. You know, I mean, there were lots of things. And I kept telling, and one day I was asking God, I said, why does this insurance guy keep calling? He said, go to your list. So I went to my list and I don't want to do this. Yep. So I called the guy back. And then of course when I decided to go do this, as I told you last week, you got people, wonderful people telling me, you can't do it. You're not a salesman. You couldn't sell nothing to nobody. You know, this is a mistake. What? You know, you're going to spend time in this. You're going to end up going bankrupt. You're going to, you know, it was boom, 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 boom. You got to shut it all out. You got a dream? My dream wasn't insurance. My dream was this list. And now I'm 16 years later. I've won lots and lots of awards, been lots and lots of places, won lots and lots of trips that I never go on, and, you know, just
by anybody's
definition in that industry, have become very successful. But only because I ignored what they said. And, you know, a friend of mine, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. Because in my class, in the way the company I work for is, they're in districts, they're areas. And the district managers, they recruit and hire new agents and they train them. And so the district isn't like by border, it's by a person. And so in 2003, when I started, there were 14 of us in my class that we started. And in this industry, 80% of the people are out of it within a year of getting licensed, and 90% of it are without within 2 years. So only 10% of the people who get licensed in this business are in it past the 2 year point. And so of the 14 of us, there's been only two of us left, myself and another guy. Now, the other guy, you know, you say, well, Rock, you kind of look the part. You know, you could do it. Well, my friend, big old African guy from Ghana, very, very, very dark-skinned. I mean, not just like, you know, he'd make you look white. You know, I mean, very black. I mean, very, very black. Very heavy accent. Very, very heavy accent. Well, how could he make it? When you got all of these other guys, the other 12, that didn't. Well, he was in the U.S. Army. Because
when he came over here, he became a citizen. He joined the Army. And they taught him some things about goals and not quitting and things like that.
And so, and Douglas is about 8 years younger than I am, 8 or 9 years younger than me. And anytime Douglas introduced me to somebody, now, you got to picture this guy. He has a smile. You know, when he smiles, his teeth are so white. You know, it's like, and he is so dark. And he's a friend. And he has been to my office many times. And he spent time in my office because we trained him on some things that he didn't know about. And I just had business experience about that he had no business experience for. But yet we get the word Friday that he died of COVID on Thursday. And I'm thinking, you got to keep marching. Because, you know, you never know. You got to stay ready. And, you know, he and I talked about the Lord many times. But, he was from Ghana. And they have, you know, they had the church, but it's surrounded with all this African stuff. So, you know, I believe you're saved, but, you know, it's a lot of stuff in there. But how could he achieve success in a business with English not being his first language, with the way he looked, with the heavy, heavy, heavy accent, with how could he achieve success in this business?
He didn't let that stop him.
That's exactly right. No excuses. No quitting. I have a dream. I came to America for a dream. To own my own business and do my own thing and be successful. Yeah, I may have all these hindrances that these other 12 guys didn't have, by the way. But I wasn't quitting. And when you have that attitude, you cannot be stopped. I want you to know that if it appears that your dream will never come to pass, what do? You just have to start replaying things in your mind. You know, when the devil says it's never going to happen. And, you know, when I was in the business for the first years, you have to understand, you know, I had no experience in anything, in insurance, in sales, in any of it. I knew how to run a business, but I didn't know how to do any of the stuff that I was supposed to be doing. And the day you open the door, you have to have an office, and you have to have at least one staff person and all that. And that was $60,000 worth of expenses a year, and I had and nothing for me. And I had no money coming in because I had no business. And, you know, you sell your first auto policy, and you make $40, and you think, okay, well, that's going to go a long way. Because it takes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And you're thinking, oh my God, what have I signed up for? How long is that going to take? So do you look at the obstacle or do you eat the elephant one bite at a time? It's easy to quit. It's not easy to make it happen. We all have dreams. We all have things we want. Replay your victories. You know, when things start coming up against me, I just go back to those first 3 years. Man, God. You know, some of you have heard this story, but I'm gonna go ahead and tell it. It was at the second year. It was at the end of the year, and I had no money. And I talked to a guy about financial services, and I sold this big deal, $1.3 million deal. And it was going to pay me a really good commission, about $16,000. And at that point in time, $16,000 was life-saving. And you've heard this story, many of you, but see, at that point, I was just at the two-year mark. That's when 90% of the people that get licensed in this industry quit. And I had a choice to make. Do I try to go back to corporate America or do I push on? Because I am like, it's desperate. But I'm not talking about how bad it is. I'm talking about the faithfulness of God. I'm talking about my dreams. I'm talking about the things I'm teaching you about. Because what have I told you? You dance with the one that brung you. This message works. It works every time for anyone that will apply it. And so I sold this deal. Money got transferred from where he was to where he was going, and all that happened. And I missed the cutoff by one day, which meant I didn't get paid on it now till February 1st. And I can't wait till February 1st. I am like desperate. I got payroll due. I've got rent. I mean, I'm desperate at this point. And so January 1st is a holiday, right? So on January 1st, I go in my office and at home. I turn on the computer to look and see what my check basically was because I expect it to be, you know, not very much. I opened it up and it was like $17,000 some odd because the $16,000 made it. And I'm like, that's impossible. I missed the cutoff. And I jump up, I'm dancing around my room, you know, I mean, I'm doing the Holy Ghost jump and everything. And so then January 2nd, I'm back at work. I called the company, which if I gave you the name of this company, you would know who it is. A big, huge national company, especially if you watch golf or any of those slow sport things, because they always advertise on those kind of channels. And so I said, I got paid. Not that I'm arguing about it. I'm grateful. But what happened? He said, you know, we're almost 100 years old as a company, and this has never happened. They ran all of the commissions, and it glitched. And it had to be run the next day, and for whatever reason, it pulled in one more day's worth of commissions for people. Now, you say, that was a coincidence. Well, my life is so full of coincidences. It was the favor of God. Didn't hurt anybody, and it sure enough blessed me. Amen. We don't quit. We don't stop. We don't talk about how bad it is. We just focus. And so when the devil starts telling you that, you just do what David did. You know, when David went to King Saul, King Saul's about fighting Goliath. King Saul says, man, you can't. You're too small. Try my armor on. The armor's too big. It's too heavy. You're not used to it. And so David just starts rehearsing his verses before King Saul. He said in 1 Samuel 17:37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from this from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. And like David, you can rehearse previous victories. Talk about the dreams that you've had come to pass in your life. Because if it can happen once, it can happen again. You need to create an atmosphere for your dream to become reality. And then how do you do that? You start replaying the things. Or start playing the things in the future. But have your mind focused on victories, not on defeat. Number three in your insert. Because I want you to remember, your life moves in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. If you think victorious, positive thoughts all the time, that's the way your life is going to move. And when your dominated thoughts are pertaining to what God can do, then your life is going to move in that direction. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Cast them down. They're not worth thinking about. Cast them down. Bring every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. Well, the obedience of Christ would be positive. It would not be negative. Christ said, Satan's come to steal, kill, and destroy in John 10:10. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Your thoughts need to be on life and more abundant life.
Amen.
It's been said that your memory has two files. File number one contains failures and painful experiences, and file number two contains successes and pleasurable experiences. Those two files, good times, bad times, which one do you go to most? The reason many people are so negative is because they go to that negative file over and over and over again, and they don't even bother to go to the positive file. And if all you talk about is worry and doubt and fear, then that just simply means that you're going there most frequently. I want you to see there's another file in your memory. No matter how difficult things have been, there have been some good times in your life. And you may say, Pastor, you don't know my life. I've never had anything good. Well, I can tell you one thing, you're breathing. And the Bible says in Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
So draw from the victory file, not the failure file. Because as long as you have breath, you can turn it around.
Yes, right.
So when those painful memories try to come up, you stop thinking about those and you start blessing God. Number four, don't give another thought to the failures of the past. You cannot go fix those. Don't talk about them. Don't give place to them. Get these things and put them in the past. I mean, learn from them, gain experience from them, let go of them, and focus on your future. The negative things of your past do not build and develop what God wants inside of you. If the things of your past attempt to destroy your confidence, then you must regard them as worthless, worthless, worthless. And because the Bible tells us what to do with worthless things in Psalms 101:3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the works of those who fall away. I shall not cling to them. Bad memories and unpleasant experiences are worthless. There is not a thing you can do to change them. They are in the past. You got to let them go because they are designed to fasten a grip on you, seize and capture you, and cause you to let go of your dream. Now, last week at the end of the message, I gave you seven characteristics of a God-given dream. And I based them off when Moses was standing before the burning bush. You know, because when he goes up there, he's like, well, who am I to go? You know, so there are seven things. I don't have time to teach on them. I'm just going to list them. The bulletin, if you're here, and you weren't here last week, the note sheet's in the back. Also, of course, it's on the video. But a God-given dream establishes identity. Number two, it establishes authority. Number three, it establishes credibility. Number three, establishes credibility. Number four, it establishes ability. Number five, it establishes courage. Number six, it establishes boldness. And number seven, it establishes perseverance. Now, you got to have those seven characteristics in a God-given dream. But then there are four things that you have to do to establish your dream. You got the characteristics, but there are four things you got to do. You got to write the dream, communicate with God about the dream, give or sow into the dream with someone else, and spend time with dreamers. I'm going to cover those real quickly. Page 4, number 1 of your insert there on there. Write the dream. You need to know where you're going. You need to set goals for yourself. Therefore, you've got to write the dream and make it plain. Habakkuk tells us in Habakkuk 2, 2, and 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, you got to wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It won't last forever that it's not here. He says, write the vision and make it plain. I don't believe God put that in the Bible for us to ignore it or overlook it. Amen. You've got to know where you're going. And every time you read the vision that God has put into your heart, it enables you to run with it. But it also then enables you to start adding things to it and clarifying it, like the dog illustration. Black dog, big black dog, big black dog, curly hair, white paws. You know, every word you add to it adds to the description. Mm-hmm. And so it motivates you, it propels you forward. What is the dream that God has put in your heart? What has God told you to do? What is the thing that causes you to be motivated, causes you to look forward to getting up and to starting a new day? What is it that puts a dance in your step and a smile on your face? Well, write it down and keep it before your eyes. Amen. Number two, you got to communicate with God. God has a plan and a dream. And he wants your reality. He wants your dream to become your reality. And if you're going to hear the plan, though, you've got to communicate with him. You've got to shut yourself away into a quiet place and pray and then listen. You have to make time to be quiet. Amen. Shut your mouth and listen for instructions. Amen. He'll speak to you, but he's not going to speak over you. So find your quiet place and listen. Y'all know where mine is. Where is it?
Shower.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's when I'm still half asleep in the morning and my mind's not going 100 miles an hour and I'm pretty much just drained and that's where he speaks to me mostly. Because that's where I'll listen. He'll meet you anywhere. You'll be quiet enough to listen to him.
Amen.
Even in the shower. Number three, you got to sow into the dreams of others. And this is the one people miss. It's like my friend Douglas. He had lots of problems, particularly those first years. Now, not that I was doing any better, but at least I knew how to run a business. He didn't know how to do payroll. He didn't know how to keep his books. He didn't know how to advertise. He didn't know how to use a computer to do lead. He didn't know how to do anything. And Douglas spent weeks in my office. Not that I was prepared to train him, because I didn't, but the business side I could train him on. And so, you know, you get to a place where if you want your dream to become reality, you have got to sow into other people's dreams. That is God's system. But I see people, they get so focused on their dream and wanting people to help them that they don't go help someone else. And I just learned a long time ago. I mean, my staff will tell you, we had another agent that started about a year ago. Man, he took so much of my staff's time over the last year. Because he would come in, we'd train him, then he sent his staff over, we'd train them. I didn't have to do that. That's really the district's job. But he liked our system. He liked the way we ran the business. And we spent hours and hours and hours. Why? Because he has a dream of starting. How do you have your dream come to pass? You sow into the dream of someone else. Don't focus on you and your problems. Because if you'll stop, if you'll just believe in your dream, and you will focus on somebody else's issues and be a blessing to help them, how does God's system work? Exactly. You get involved in someone else's dream, and God will get involved in yours. Amen. Amen? Amen? So, one of the most important things you can do in order to see your vision come to pass is to be a giver. Your dream will never come to pass until you are willing to sow into the dream of another. Get involved in somebody else's dream, and God will get involved in yours. There is something, it's in bold, underneath that section number 2 on the back page, under communicate with, under sowing into the dreams of others. It's in bold. In order to possess something that you do not have, you have to be willing to plant something that you do have. If you want to possess your dream, you have to sow toward it. That's the principle that, the farmer operates on. You know, if the farmer desires a harvest full of corn, he's got to be willing to what?
Plant the seed.
Go plant the seed. That's exactly right. Your dream will never come to pass until you sow towards that dream. Get involved in somebody else's dream. Sow into it. Every seed produces after its own kind. And if you'll help make someone else's dream become to pass, God will see to it that others will get involved in your dream. And then the last thing is you got to talk to other dreamers. There will always be somebody who will try to talk you out of your dream. The dreamer is motivated by the dream more than anybody else. That's the reason it's almost impossible to communicate it in some people. Not everyone is a dreamer. Talking to other dreamers can be faith building. It can help you to learn more about where you are in your relationship to your dream. When you speak to other dreamers who have stepped out in faith, then you receive what is yours. When you speak to other dreamers, their faithful words will motivate you to do the impossible. We're not to live by ourselves. But if you'll remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about we're also not to associate with people that don't believe. They will steal your dream. They will take your dream away from you. Dreamers know that God will give them the ability beyond their own ability to accomplish their dream. And these are the kind of people that you want to talk to about your dreams. Doubters, they discourage you from moving forward. They'll give you 1,000 reasons that your dream is impossible to accomplish. In contrast, when you speak to fellow dreamers, that you will learn that there is nothing impossible when you put your trust in a living God. Decide the words of the naysayers. Don't you give up. Don't allow words of negative people to cause you to draw back from your dream. They may even tell you that, you know, some things that are true in the natural. Like, you know, they used to tell me, you can't sell. Well, in the natural, that was true. But God had other plans. And so they may tell you that you don't have enough money in your bank account. Well, that may be true. They may tell you you don't have the right education. They may tell you you're the wrong skin color. They may tell you you got too heavy of an accent, like my buddy Douglas. They may tell you all kinds of things. I don't really care what they tell me. Which is why I don't listen to those people. I don't go talk to non-dreamers about my dreams. Despite what they say, don't you give up. Just say yes to God. Determine in your heart, if God says that you can do it, you can do it. You have the assurance from the Word of God that your dream will come to pass. Though it tarry, what are we supposed to do?
Wait for it.
It will happen at the right place, at the right time. All you have to do is resist the temptation to give up. All you have to do is resist the temptation to give up. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Whether you're watching me, listening to me, or in this room, you want to be a success? Cool. God wants you to be a success. God will give you a dream. He'll help you achieve it, but you got to go after it. But the first thing you got to do is make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. I ain't playing around with this. I'm just telling you. If Jesus isn't Lord, you got to fix that, and you need to fix it now. And let's get on with living. Let's get past what the pandemic and all of the people say is going to happen. Let's move on. Let's get some hope back, and let's be smart, but let's do what we need to do. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you need to rededicate your life to Him today and get yourself back on track. If you're listening or watching, just acknowledge it before God. If you're in this room, lift a hand. We're just going to say a prayer. Somebody said, well, I've said the prayer 14 times. It doesn't matter if you said it 1,400 times. Let's pray and let's make sure that we're all right with God. Amen. Just repeat after me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive everything you've done for me. I may not even know what that means. But as I learn, I will receive it with gladness. But what I do know is Jesus gave his life to save me and to bring me back into a right relationship with you. I receive that. I accept it. And Jesus, I will walk with you as my Lord and my Savior from this point forward. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Now, still every head bowed if you're in this room and every eye closed. If you've got dreams, if you're watching or listening, you need to acknowledge this too, because I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to speak over you in just a minute. But if you've got dreams and you're not achieving those dreams and you've let all of the cares of life overcome them, and you want to pull them back out, dust them off, maybe you need to just say, God, forgive me for not being faithful to the dream. If you want to say, God, I'm going to follow my dream. Forgive me for not being faithful to what you've given me. I won't quit, and I will pursue my dream. If that's you, lift a hand. Many hands are up, and I thank you for that. Father, in Jesus' name, by the authority of that name, I speak over these hearts and these lives. You see these hands in this room, and you see the hands and the hearts outside of this room. Dreams live in Jesus' name. Goals live in Jesus' name. Pursuit of your dream live in Jesus' name. Courage come upon each person that has their hand raised in Jesus' name. Persistence come upon each person. Father, I just pray that you give every person clarity and get an excitement, an encouragement, and bring dreamers across their path. I ask you for it in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it in that name. Amen. Amen. Well, I am. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening to my stories. I just felt like, man, when I heard, you know, when I heard Jerry Savelle say that, I realized, well, I'm not alone. You know, life is interesting. It never ceases to change. I find life terribly exciting. Let me rephrase that. Terribly is not a good word. Wonderfully exciting. Let me say it that way. I love not knowing what tomorrow holds. Because there's only one thing that's secure, and that's God. Amen. And His Word. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity to get into the Word today, to learn about you, and to learn about the blessings that you have for us and the way that you have developed for us to achieve things in this life. I'm so grateful and thankful. I love you and praise you. I thank you for a great week for us. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, as always, I dispatch you in this next week to go and prepare our way. Thank you for protecting us, moving us in and out of situations where we might get exposed to something or something may happen. I thank you for your protection. I thank you for watching over us in Jesus' name. Be blessed, Father God. Have a great week, and you are dismissed. Amen.